Morning. Today's daf in Yuma Lamed Tes. We are starting today with the new perek of the Masechta, fourth perek of the Masechta. Now we are in the heart of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, in which we are starting now with the selection of the Seirim. There are two goats that are presented in front of the Kohen Gadol. That's the last where we left off in the previous perek in terms of Mishnayos. And the Kohen via lottery is going to be selecting the goats. Actually, I say the Kohen selecting the goats, really the lottery selecting the goats. So they go out through a lottery, so a goat is going to be selected. One of them is going to be La Hashem, and the other one's going to be La Zazel. And as we progress through this parak and the next parak, so obviously we're going to go through all the details of what exactly is going to happen to the one that's La Hashem and the one that's La Zazel. So all that obviously we will speak about in great detail. In the meantime, right now, today's Mishnah, the beginning of the fourth parak, is going to be focusing on the lottery itself. Now, it's a really simple lottery in that there are two goats and there are two possibilities, and it's really that simple. So can it become complicated? A little bit, as we'll be discussing over the course of today's daf in terms of the selection process. But nevertheless, we begin. Tarif Bekalpi, the Mishnah starts off by describing how Toref Bekalpi. Now, Toref certainly is a verb. That much we know. So, but what exactly does it mean? So Rashi over here says a pshat. So kapi, by the way, as we already discussed in the previous perek, so kapi is the box. In other words, there was a small chest that they had in which two lottery tickets were in there, right? Again, there are two goats, only two lottery tickets. One inscribed under the word La Hashem and the other one's La Zazel. So that part's easy. The kapi is the actual box itself. And taraf, what does that mean? So Rashi in the Mishnah writes, pit'om, betrefa uve chatifa, right? Probably not trefa, but tarifa, uvechatifa. Rashi describes basically what the Kohen Gadol's got to do is go in really quickly. And why? So as we're going to be discussing, because obviously you want the selection to be done through the lottery, not the Kohen Gadol. I mean, the Gemara's going to say it. I mean, I'm giving away the Gemara. But but if the Kohen sits there with his hand inside trying to feel which one's which, now I'm not really sure how you're going to be able to feel which one's which. In other words, they're made out of the actual lottery tickets themselves. They're made out of wood, and you remember the upgrade that we discussed in the previous perek, where it was upgraded to gold. But not really sure how the Kohen Gadol is going to sit there and try to figure out which one's which. But if the Kohen Gadol were to do it, right? Maybe could be. But if the Kohen Gadol went in there and methodically, you know, try to figure out which one's which, so then it the selection's not done via lottery, and we want it done through a lottery. What difference does it make to the Kohen Gadol? So again, just foreshadowing a little bit of Gemara that we're going to see momentarily. So it matters to the Kohen Gadol because he wants the one La Hashem to come out in his right hand. Okay, it's a siman tov, it's a skula, if you know, just to use modern terminology. But the that's the gain, that's the benefit, and we don't want that. Meaning, we want it to be done via lottery. So the Mishnah over here describes so tarif b'kapi. So really quickly, the Kohen Gadol is going to put his hand in the box and pick one out. Actually, he's going to pick out two. It's just a question of which one is going to be assigned to which goat. V'hela shnei goralas echad kasav alav l'ashem echad kasav alav l'azazel. So on each of the tickets, one's inscribed the Shem Hashem, and the other one's Lazazel. Hasgan b'yaminav rosh b'esav b'smolo. And remember, just like we described in the previous parak, our Kohen Gadol is going to be flanked. The skan is going to be to his right, and the rosh b'esav is going to be to his left. You remember, just a couple days ago, we described how, generally speaking, your right-hand man shouldn't be on your right side, okay? Even though he's your right-hand man. But the number two should normally be on the left. And if you're on the right, you're a boar. We discussed this a couple days ago. But nevertheless, though, in this particular configuration, Skan's on the right-hand side, Rosh Beis Av is on the left-hand side. Im shel shem ala b'yamino, Skan omer lo, ishi kohen gadol hag b'yaminecha. Now, if the ticket that says La Hashem comes out in the Kohen Gadol's right hand, so the Skan says, good, raise your right hand. Right, that was exciting. And v'im shel shem ala b'smolo. Now, what if the ticket that was inscribed Shem Hashem came out in the Kohen Gadol's left hand? So Rosh Beis Av Omer Lo, Ishi Kohen Gadol Hag Beis Malecha. So then the instruction is to raise your left arm. Okay, again, that's how lottery works. It could come out in the right or in the left hand. Nasan al Shnei Asirim, and now a Nesina. In other words, so now the ticket's going to be placed on the goat. I'm not really sure how the placement is done. In other words, maybe it's like a collar, maybe it's just hanging off the horn. Not really clear, but anyway. So, but you put it on the goats. The Omer La Hashem Chatas, and you now assign that, obviously, whichever one the Lashem ticket falls out on, in the right hand or the left hand, so then the goat that is to the right of him, if it falls out in his right hand, is now, he'll place it on the goat to his right, and he'll say, that's Lashem. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel Amar lo yetzarech lomar chatas, ela Lashem. Now, Rabbi Shmuel over here says that the word chatas is superfluous, and he just needs to say Shem Hashem. Okay, the machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shmuel, we'll talk about later. Ve'hena onin achara baruch shem kevar machzol le'olam ve'ed. And now Shem Hashem is being articulated in the Azara, so we all know what the response is going to be. So Baruch Shem, right? Just like we saw by the Vidu of the Kohen Gadol when it comes to his par, where he said Shem Hashem, so Baruch Shem, so Hagam. Same thing over here, it's Baruch Shem. Good. Mishnah's instructions are extraordinarily straightforward in terms of how we are going to do it, but as I pointed out, it's going to get a little bit involved, a little bit complicated over the course of today's daf. So, but first we start off with a simple Q&A. The Gemara starts off, Lama li taraf. Bekapi. So why is the Kohen have to go quickly into the box and quickly take something out? And what's that all about? So again, I gave it away, but here the Gemara says it beferish. And that is that if the Kohen were to do it a little bit more methodically, a little slowly, so then he's going to be mechavin. He's going to want to take out the ticket that says Lashem in his right hand. Now, why would he want that? So Rashi over here writes, first Rashi in the Gemara. Shelo yemashmesh lahavin b'mishmusho ezer shal shem v'yilu b'yamin lefishu simen yafe kishu ola b'yamin. So as I pointed out, but I got it from Rashi, obviously. So it's a simen yafe. It's a good sign when it comes out in the right hand. Okay, and obviously we're all looking for good simanim. You know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you know, even Sukkot to a certain degree. But it's all simanim, right? Rosh Hashanah, Baruch Hashem. It's all simanim on Rosh Hashanah. So Yom Kippur as well. It's the settings for the whole year. So we want good simanim. Good. So that's what the Kohen Gadol would want. But again, it's not up to him. It's up to the lottery. However it's determined. And just to make sure, so we tell the Kohen Gadol quickly, put your hand in, take one out. Okay. Amar Rava. Rav is going to rattle off three halachas as it relates to the lottery and to the actual instruments themselves. Number one says Rava Kalpa Shel Eitz Haisa was made out of wood. Number two says Rava Shel Chol Haisa it was not a kli sharis. And finally, number three, Eina Machzekes Ela Shtei Yadayim. At most, you can fit in two hands and no longer. This box, this chest that carries the two tickets in it, so the opening or the box itself can't hold more than two hands in it. Now, Maske Fla Ravina. So Ravina says, okay, can we go over these three halachas that were just said over by the copy? Number one, Bishlam Eina Machzekes Ela Shtei Yadayim Keichudu Lechavim Lishko. So I understand that the size of the box is really important because, once again, if the box is too big, the Kohen could just simply look in and see, oh, I'll take that one. Okay, so that part I understand. So basically it's, you know, quality control, lottery control, if you will. So Ela Shochol, so Nikacha. So the Gemara says, okay, now, the fact that it's not a klisharis, so the Gemara says, I got a great idea, and that is be mekadoshin and make it a klisharis. Now, I'm not really sure what the gain would be by it being a klisharis, meaning we're not putting carbon inside of it, right? It's not. There's no mincha going inside of it. It's two tickets that are going inside of it. I guess maybe because we're in the Beis HaMikdash and it's just simply appropriate for it to be in the Beis HaMikdash. So that could be a possibility. I'm not really sure, but still the Gemara wants to know. So why aren't we mekadoshin? So the Gemara says, because imke navale klisharis shal eitz, so klisharis de eitz, lo avdinan. So the Gemara says, because it's made out of wood, and you don't make klisharis out of wood. Klisharis is made out of gold, out of silver, but it's not made out of wood. So the Gemara says, okay, so I got this great solution, and that is navda de kesef, venavda de zav. So Gemara says, fine. So make it out of silver, make it out of gold, and then make it into a klisharis. Okay. So what's the problem? So the Gemara says, a Torah chasam, mamon shel Yisrael. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know, the Torah is considerate about our money. In other words, if we don't have to make it a kli sharis, which clearly we don't, and there's a chance to make it out of a simple wood box, so let's make it out of a simple wood box. And you know that the Torah, generally speaking, is considerate about our wallet. Meaning, obviously, the Torah, Akash Baruch, wants us to do mitzvos, but if there is a chance for us to not spend money unnecessarily. So, okay, good. That's better. Rashi over here, an important Rashi, a Torah Chasa. So Rashi over here says, and how do I know that? Meaning, what's the source of this idea? A Torah Chasa, Mamon, Shei, Soshin, Emar. So Rashi writes, V'tziva, Kohen, Ufinu, Asabai. So we know that when it comes to Tzaras Batim, so, Kohen Gadol, Cohen is going to go in and he's going to see whether or not that what seems to be a tsaras is in fact tsaras, and they'll determine whether the house is considered a bais menuga. Now, in order for him to do so, before he does so, so I'll turn to the homeowner and say, you know what? Now I got this great idea right now. And that is, it's not the Cohen's idea. It's a Torah's instruction. Clear the house out. Take everything out of the house. So, amachas the Torah. So clear out the house, because if the house is in fact determined to be a bais menuga, so then all the contents of the house are going to become tummy. Now, as Rashi is about to point out, and so what? Meaning, if all the contents of the house become tummy, so there's a mikvah, so take everything and put it into the mikvah. That's true, you know, that would be effective for everything in the house except for kli cheres. So if there's any kli cheres in the house, so if the kli cheres were to become tummy, so that is unresolvable. So basically, the Torah is telling us to go ahead and take all the contents out of the house in order for us to save kli cheres. Okay, kli cheres is cheap. And Rashi points out, I'm not reading the end of the Rashi, but Rashi points out over there, from there we learn the Chasa Torah Mamona Shayisrael. Good. So if there's a way that the Torah is interested in us preserving our wealth and not wasting our money. Now I'm going to just share my confusion with you, and I'm just simply confused. Meaning that is a value of the Torah, that the Torah wants us to make sure that we don't waste our money. On the other hand, the Gemara also says a number of other occasions that ein anias b'makom ashiras, that when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, so you want to do everything in a regal manner. The Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's house. Consider everything is made up of gold. We just learned just a couple days ago that the doorways of the all the entrances and doorways of the Beis HaMikdash were plated with gold. And in the Beis HaMikdash, so it is a place where we don't cut corners financially, and we spend money. And so over here on the box used for the lottery, so this is a line item in the budget of the Beis HaMikdash where they said, you know what, use wood, don't use metal, don't make it out of silver, don't make it out of gold. Okay, so I get a little bit confused when, you know, on one hand, they're both values are true, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash, you know, make sure to spend money. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, make sure not to waste your money. So they're both good values. Over here, however, I'm just a little bit confused because we're in the Beis HaMikdash, and meanwhile, so we're cutting a corner over here. Not cutting a corner, but, you know, we're saving a couple dollars over here by making the box wood instead of gold. Sounds like it would, meaning if the concept over here is that Torah Chasam Hamon Shal Yisrael, so you figure they use the same box every year. Okay. Masisin Deloki, Aitan of the Gemara says, okay, now, our Mishnah, good. So the three halachas of Rava, we just explained. Now, the Gemara points out that our Mishnah over here is not going to be in perfect agreement with other Tanayim. Our Mishnah is reflective of one Tana's viewpoint. Other Tanayim disagree. And the Gemara goes on to describe. Masisin Deloki, Aitana Detanya, Rabbi Huda, Omre, Mishum, Rabbi Lazar, Hasgan. Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer. Hasgan, V'Kohen Gadol, Machnisin, Yadu, B'Kalpi. Two hands would go into the box. The hand of the Kohen Gadol and the hand of the Skan would go into the box, obviously each one taking one ticket. In other words, like Rava said just moments earlier, the box was big enough for two hands can go in. So, Im, B'Yamina, Shal Kohen Gadol, Oleh. See, that's what it seems like. That's what it's. No. This Tana is not agreeing to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah and this Tana we're learning right now are not in agreement. So the Gemara says, "Im yamina shel kohen gadol ola hasgan omer lo." So now, obviously, with two hands going in, the hand of the kohen gadol and the hand of the skan, so each one taking a ticket. So obviously, there are two possibilities. So if the kohen gadol is the one who took out the ticket that's inscribed Shem Hashem. So now the Skan says to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Hagbe Yaminecha. So he says, good. Now raise your hand, meaning you got the Shem Hashem. Right? I was tempted to say you're the winner, but over here it's not winner, loser. It's, you know, but but obviously there is a certain skula, if you will, right? A Simon Yafel, I'm quoting Rashi, to have the right hand take out the Shem Hashem. Now, the Imbi Yamino Shosgan Ola, now let's say, the other possibility, of course, is that the Skan pulled out the Shem Hashem. So Rosh Beis Av Omer Lo, the Kohen Gadol, Devar Milecha. So now the Rosh Beis Av says to the Kohen Gadol, okay, now it's your time to speak. Meaning, okay, in other words, the Skan is going to raise his hand and the Kohen Gadol is going to speak. Now, V'nemele Skan, and the Gemara says, now I don't understand. When the Kohen Gadol, if the Kohen Gadol took out the Shem Hashem, so then the Skan informs him, okay, now raise your hand and say it. And meanwhile, if the Skan takes out the Shem Hashem, so why isn't the Skan now instructing the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says, Kevin Dolo Salak Biyadeh, Chal Shadayte. So the Gemara says, because look, what happened now is that the Kohen Gadol ended up with the Lazazel ticket in his hand. He had a certain Chalishas Das. If the Skan now were to tell him, hey, raise your hand, so then it's gonna break him a little bit in terms of his spirit. So, b'mai kamiflagi. Okay, so basically now what we have are two separate descriptions of how the two tickets are to be taken out. Our Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol is gonna take his two hands and put them in. And, so that means to say that one with his right, one with his left. Now, the Brisa we just learned together, no. The Kohen Gadol is gonna go in with his right hand, and the Skan is also gonna go in with his right hand. And the Gemara wants to know, what's the machlokas? What are they arguing about? So, So the Gemara says like this, that when it comes to our Mishnah, so our Mishnah says the left hand of the Kohen Gadol is just as good as the right hand of the Skan. And being that we always have a preference to have all the avodas of Yom Kippur done by the Kohen Gadol, so therefore it's favorable to have the Kohen Gadol put his two hands in. On the other hand, the Braisa that we just learned says no, that if you have an opportunity for the avoda to be done by Yamin, so have the avoda done by Yamin. And so that means obviously the Kohen Gadol is limited to only one right hand. So fine, so the second right hand will be used by the Skan, and have the Skan put his right hand in. And so it's a question of, you know, basically we're trying to figure out values. What is more valuable, the right hand of the Skan or the left hand of the Kohen Gadol? Uman haitana de paligala de Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chananya, Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanimhu. So the Gemara says, okay, can we identify who the author of our Braisa is? The Gemara says, yes, we can. And that is Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim. The Tanya will enter the Braisa. Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim, Omer lehem, Skan mi Yemino, Shimi Rabbo Psul be Kohen Gadol, Nichna Skan u Meshamish Tachtav. So over here, the Braisa describes, you know what the role of Skan Kohen is? And that is that he's a stand-in. That if anything happens to the Kohen Gadol, he's going to stand in. And therefore what? Well, Rashi offers a couple of pshatim over here, but the pshat that Rashi, the second pshat, which he seems to favor, is that basically there's only one role for the Skan, and that is just in case. Right? If something happens to the Kohen Gadol, so then we're going to use the Skan, but meaning to say that up until that point in time, we're not using the Skan at all, which means that's our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah says, so what's preferable? Kohen Gadol's left hand or the Skan's right hand? No, Kohen Gadol's left hand. What's the point of the Skan? Just in case. Meaning if there's a psul to the Kohen Gadol, so then we'll use the Skan. Good. Tana Rabbanan. Good part of today's daf now is going to be talking about the Tkufa of Shimon HaTzadik. So, after Churban Bais Rishon, we were sent into exile for 70 years. We came back to build the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash. According to our tradition, lasted for 420 years. So the beginning of the Tkufa of Bais Sheni, so we had an amazing Kohen Gadol, Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos describes as Shayar Knesset HaGedola. He was a member. He was one of the last members of the Anshe Knesset HaGedola. And he served as Kohen Gadol, as we're going to see right now, 40 years. Okay. So as we already learned earlier in the Masechta, so if our Masorah has it that the second base of Mikdash lasted for 420 years, so subtract Shimon HaTzadik's term of 40 years, so you're basically left with 380 years of other Kohen Gadols. Okay, and you remember the Gemara that we saw all the way back on Daf Tes. The Gemara described over there that there were basically about 300 Kohanim serving in the Beis HaMikdash. And there was basically about one Kohen Gadol per year. Happens to be that the Gemara back on Daf Tes articulated there were other Kohen Gadols who also served for longer terms, but most of them served for 1 year. Anyway, so Shimon HaTzadik, Meshayari Anshe Knesset HaGedola. So over here we're describing now his tenure as Kohen Gadol. So Tan Rabban Arbim Shana Shashima Shimon HaTzadik HaYagoral Ola B'Yamin. Mikan Ve'elach Pamim Ola B'Yamin, Pamim Ola B'Smol. So in terms of statistics, so you could take all the laws of statistics and throw them out the window when it comes to Shimon of Tzadik. For the 40 years that he was there, so even though it's a 50-50, but every year that he pulled the tickets out of the Kalpi, so the Shem Hashem came out in his right hand. 40 years straight. It's pretty good. So the, obviously, it's a simon, meaning it shows that Kadosh Baruch Hu had tremendous favor towards Shimon HaTzadik and the Jewish people during his time. So the, and after that is basically with chance. In other words, basically now the laws of statistics kick in and obviously yesh v'yesh. Sometimes it came out in the right, sometimes it came out in the left. Now once again, during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik, so you had a red wool strip, that was, we'll talk about where it was placed. It was, it moved around a little bit. We'll talk about that later in the Masechta. But meanwhile, however, as per the pasuk in Yeshayahu, so the, on Yom Kippur, so when it turned from red to white, right? As a siman that our chataim now have been cleaned. And for the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik, you can count on it. It went from red to white. So mikan ve'elech, pa'am imabim, pa'am meno mabim. And then from that point going forward, sometimes didn't. And you can imagine the year that it didn't go from red to white. So that was very deflating. Their ner ma'aravi, the western ner. Now, which one's the western ner? So Rashi over here spends a good amount of time going over it. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now. But anyway, it really depends on how the menorah is configured in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, see Rashi for more details. Right now, I'll just say it simply. The western air, so even though the rest of the candles went out in the morning, and understandably, because as we learned in our Masechta, how much oil went into each of the Neros, so enough to last a night, right? A long winter's night, but enough to last a night. By the morning, however, they all went out. The Ner Ma'aravi, during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik, it continued to light for the remainder of the day. And another thing during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik's tenure, and that is that in terms of the fire on the Mizbeach, it just went. And yet we put two logs on every day, but that's a mitzvah. Mitzvah to have two logs on every day. But after that, we didn't need to supply fuel for the Mizbeach. It just went. Right? Again, above the laws of nature. And then mikan ve'elech, pa'amim misgaber, pa'amim misgaber. And then after that, yeah, sometimes the fire on the Mizbeach burned well. Sometimes it didn't. Sometimes we had to add more fuel on. Okay. V'lo yukornim nimnam alavi etzem lamaracha kol yam kulo, v'nishacha bracha be'omer. V'lo yukornim nimnam alavi etzem lamaracha kol yam kulo, and the Kohanim had to just keep resupplying wood onto the fire the whole day. And bracha went, again, this is during the 40-year tenure of Shimon HaTzadik. There was bracha that went into the Omer, into the Shtei Alechem, into the Lechem Aponim. So meaning that when these menachos were offered, so there was so much bracha that went into these menachos. V'chol kohen shemagia, kizayis yesh ochlo v'savea, v'yesh ochlo u'mosir. And then when the Kohen got a kezayah, so he ate, he was satiated. Sometimes he just couldn't even finish it. Mikan ve'elech neshacha me'ira be'omer v'she'alechem v'alechem upon it. But after the tenure of Shimon HaTzadik, so now literally a curse went into the Omer and the she'alechem and the lechem upon him. V'chol Kohen magio kepul, and basically the Kohanim, you know, from these menachos, they took a small amount. Right, the size of a bean. Hatsun Moshchenes Yadayim. Now, those who were a little bit more modest, or in other words, more refined Kohanim, so they would excuse themselves. Meaning, if all we're going to get is a bean's worth, and it's not going to satiate us, so you know what? We'll pass. And v'hargarganim notlim v'ochlin. And the Kohanim who are just a little bit rougher, if you will, so they would go and they would take. And there was this Kohen who not only took his friends as well. Meaning again, sorry for the analogy. And, Mirz Hashem, we're going to see this soon. But it's like, you know, it's like a Kiddush. And so, and there was one Kohen who, elbowed his way in and not only took, but took from other Kohenim as well. And they call him Ben Chamsan Ad Yom Osal. And Ben Chamsan is a description of basically, they called him a Gazlan. And as we just turned to the top of the Amud Beis, so I'm a Rabbi Barbashila Mikra, and this term Chamsan, how do I know it means Gazlan? The Gemara quotes a couple of psukim. So one pasuk the Gemara quotes, Mikra, okay, Paltani Miad Rasha, Mikaf, Ma'avel, V'chometz. So the pasuk in Tehillim describes a plea. Please spare me, save me from the Rasha and from the Chometz. Somebody who's going to, someone who's going to steal from me. Arav Amar Mehacha, another pasuk, the beginning of Yishayahu, Chazon Yishayahu, Limdu Etev Dershu Mishpat, Ashrei Chamutz, so Ashro Chamutz, sorry. Ashro Chamutz Va'al, Te'ashru Chometz. Kadosh Baruch Hu, can you benefit, please, not the robber, but rather the victim? Meaning the Chamutz, not the Chometz. Okay, so, once again, another pasuk in Navi describing the word Chamutz, Chometz, meaning a robber. Okay, for a moment, let's go back. Let's describe now, or let's get a somewhat better understanding. So over here, again, the basic idea of the Gemara is that during the Tkufa of Shimon HaTzadik, so you had tremendous bracha in everything. Nisim occurring daily during the 40 years, and then after that, right, it was a little bit more, down to earth, if you will. Okay, one of the things that we just described is that after the years of Shimon HaTzadik, so basically, of the lechem upon him and the shea lechem and the omer, so he got a little bit. All right, kapul, right? A bean's worth. It wasn't even a kazayas. Some people ate, some people said, you know what, it's not, just not worth it, meaning not even getting enough. Tosus Yishonim over here, really, really interesting maramakum, important maramakum. So Tosus Yishonim over here, see, right, I got the reading glasses on. So it's on the bottom. It's really small, but Shemagil Kapul Atznu Moshkin Yadehem. So Omer Rebbe. So he's quoting one of the Balei Atosos. Okay. So Omer Rebbe, the Dafka Megil Kapul, Ava Bechazayt Lo Yomoshkin Yadehem, Kidim Lekayim Mitzvah Achila. So Ava Kan Lo Hayam Mitzvah Achila Legamri. Kevin Shein Sham El Kapul. So now, if there was a Kazayas, so then the Tznuim wouldn't just simply say no, thank you. Meaning, obviously, there's a mitzvah to eat. In other words, we're talking about now the menachos in the Beis HaMikdash, shtei lechem 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 upon him, the omer. So obviously, if you were offered a kazayas and you're a kohen, obviously you would take because now there's a mitzvah. And there's a kazayas. Sekidim lekayim mitzvah achila. Avakan lo hayo mitzvah achila legamrei. But over here now, so you're getting less than a kazayas. So over here, now interesting. So if you're getting less than a kazayas, is there any kind of mitzvah? Meaning, on one hand, you're eating a mincha. On the other hand, it is not a shir. So is there any kind of mitzvah in doing so? So he writes, and I'm going to read. So, aval kan lo hayo mitzvah achila legamrei, kevin shein sham el kapul. So over here, it's not a mitzvah legamrei, because you're not eating the requisite shir. V'lo hayu sveim. And it also wouldn't satiate you. V'im tomer. So, but Tosfos Yeshanim asked, okay, but let's go back to the time of Shimon HaTzadik, where you did get a bean's worth, and it did satiate and satisfy you. So what? Isn't it less than a shear? And haven't you not fulfilled the mitzvah anyway? So he writes, he says, Eich mekayim mitzvah achila, yeshlomer delo bai kezayis legamrei, ela lekezayis adiva v'chashiva achila, So he suggests over here that to fulfill the mitzvah, even if it's less than a kezayas, but it does satiate you, so you're fulfilling the mitzvah. Now, if it's a kezayas and it still doesn't satiate you, but the kezayas is the shear, and therefore you're mekayim the mitzvah. But if it's less than a kezayas and it doesn't satiate you, so then you haven't done a mitzvah. But if it's less than a kezayas and it does satiate you, so then, yeah, so there is a mitzvah that's involved. Okay, right, connected to the Gemara's discussion in the seventh Perek of Brachos regarding when's there a mitzvah to bench. So that we know that Minotaurah, the Gemara says, Minotaurah, the mitzvah to bench is when you have Kedei Sviya, when it satisfies and satiates you. Now it happens to be the Gemara over there assumes that it's way over Kazais. And the Gemara even there says it's way over Kabetza, whatever that shear is. Again, but during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik, based on the bracha that was given, so you ate less than a kezayis and it satiated you and you fulfilled the mitzvah. Okay. Good. Let's go back to our Gemara Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, we're still a little bit more of a description of the tkufa of the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik. The Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanan, we're on Lama Tes Amud Beis, about 5 lines from the top of the Amud. So, Oso Shana Shemes Ba Shimon HaTzadik. So, the year that Shimon HaTzadik died. So, Amr Lahem B'Shana Zuhu Meis. So he knew it. In other words, he told everybody, I'm dying this year. Unbelievably sad, but he knew. Now, Amr Laminayin Atayodea. So they asked him the question, how do you know? Amr Lahem B'chol Yom HaKippurim Hayam Mizdamin Li Zaken Echad. So he describes over here that every year, so when I went in the Kodesh HaKadashim, so there was an elder that was with me. In a moment, we're going to ask the obvious question. Who? Okay, well, hold that thought. So Echad, Mizdamin Lo Zaken Echad. Lavish Levanim V'atov Levanim, and he was all decked in white. Nichnasimi V'yatsimi, and he would go in with me, and he would come out with me. V'ayom Nizdamin Li Zaken Echad Lavish Charim V'atov Charim. And this year, so that entity, okay, obviously I'm going to try to be careful how I describe it. So that entity that goes in with me, so was in black. Nichnas nimi v'lo yatzai mi, went in with me but did not come out with me. So acharegel, and after yantiv, chala shivas yamim, he was sick for 7 days, v'meis, and rachmanis, he was nifter. V'nimnu echav akornim levarach b'shem. And from that point going forward, they were mevarach b'shem. Now, just on this last point over here, what was a mevarach b'shem? What do you mean? They didn't duchen? They didn't give birchas kohanim? They didn't do a mitzvah in the Torah? So no. So Rashi writes over here, no. What it means is that, of course they duchen, of course they give birchas kohanim, but what it meant is that when it came to Shem Hashem, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, so during the years of Shem HaTzadik, they used the Shem HaMefarash. And then after the years of Shimon HaTzadik, they no longer use the Shema Mefarash. Good. That's Rashi's explanation over here.
What was their guidance on that? How did they come to do it?
It's a fair question. I don't know. They felt that they dropped in Madrega. But what got them to that particular conclusion? It's an excellent question. I don't know. The obvious question, who's going in with him? And the question gets compounded because the pasuk says, V'chol Adam lo yeh ba'ol moed, that no one can be, let alone no one can be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim when the Kohen Gadol goes in. Nobody can be in the Heichal when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Who's going in with Shimon HaTzadik? So Tosfos Rishonim over here quotes the Yerushalmi. The question's really strong. Obviously, it demands an answer because we have a Mesorah. But what's happening over here? So Tosfos Rishonim, right? Second time I'm quoting Tosfos Rishonim today. It's a good day. So B'Yerushalmi Parach V'Aksi V'Chol Adam Yeh Bo Moed V'Darshin An Afilo Osam Shekasa Behem Ufneim Pnei Adam and again to the best of my understanding, not even Malachim can go into the Heichal when the Kohen Gadol goes in there. Right, so umitaretz kvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu haya. So kvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how do I understand the Yerushalmi? The answer is, I can read the Yerushalmi and I can translate, but I don't fully understand it. But the point is that there was some sort of vision that Shimon HaTzadik had as he was going in. Okay, but. But obviously, the Yerushalmi is bothered by the fact that it's hard to describe, nearly impossible to describe. No person can go in, no malach can go in at the time. So what is that? Okay, so Yerushalmi has a response. But, okay, it's a really strong question. We are about a dozen lines from the top of the Amatan Rabbanan. Okay, we described the first 40 years of Bayis Sheni, and now we're going to go to the other bookend. We're going to go to the last 40 years of Bayis Sheni. Now, if you've been with me in the daf, so you know those last 40 years of Bayis Sheni, really like the end was in sight, and obviously it was an extraordinarily difficult time. So over here now we're going to get one perspective of these last 40 years. Arbam Shana Kodem Chor Bayis. So Lo Haya Goral Ola Biyamin. V'lo haya loshon shazar is malbin. So for those last 40 years, so the Shem Hashem never came out in the Kohen Gadol's right hand. And the Lashon Shel Zohar is never turned white. And the Ner Ma'aravi went out like all the other Neros went out in the morning. And the doors of the Heichal would open on their own. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai turned to the doors and said to the doors, "Enough already!" Right? It's an unbelievable discussion between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the doors of the Heichal. He said, "Enough already!" Amlo Heichal, Heichal mimnei ma'ata ma'avisatz mecha. Right? Stop scaring everybody. Meaning, I know what you're trying to communicate. The doors opening up, meaning that the enemies are going to come in and they're going to destroy. He's like, I get it. So Yodei ani lecharev. I know the end is coming, and I know we're going to be destroyed. Ukvar nisnav elecha Zecharia ben the Girsa is Zecharia ben Brechia ben Ido pasach levanu dalasecha v'tochal esh barzecha. So the Navi Zecharia said it very clearly, and the Navi Zecharia, by the way, goes back to the beginning of Bayesheni. Right, Zecharia was one of the last of the Nevi'im. So 400 years earlier, it's already been prophesied that this Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And Rav Yochanan Zakkai says, I get it. In other words, and the Nevuah is coming true now. But he basically says, you don't need to keep reminding us every day. Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Tavlai, Lamanik Roshmo Livanon. Okay, as long as we quote the Pasuk in Zechariah, describing the Beis HaMikdash as the Livanon, so why is it called the Livanon? Shema ben Avasen Shal Yisrael, because basically what it does, it helps us achieve kapara. And the word Levanon from Levan, right? In other words, like the wool we described earlier this morning, going from red to white. Amrav Zucha Bartuf Yalamnik Rashmo Ya'ar. Also, another way that the Beis HaMikdash is described as a Ya'ar. Ya'ar is a forest. So Dichsi Beis Ya'ar Levanon. And the Pasuk describes it as a Ya'ar. So Lam Lechama Ya'ar Melav Lev. Just like you look, go into a forest and you'll see the blossoming of the forest. So Av Beis HaMikdash Melav Lev. Same thing, the Beis HaMikdash has blossoms. What is that a reference to? Gemara goes on to describe. Amar Avoshia Bishasha Bana Shlomo Beis HaMikdash Natabo Komine Megadim Shel Zahav. Okay, the golden fruit. Now, hopefully you remember, it's not that long ago we described this golden fruit earlier. Okay, what exactly does that mean? Money doesn't grow on trees? That's mostly true. And here's our exception, where money's going to grow on trees. So call me name Gadim Shozava, you motzim peros bizmanem bekevensha ruch min hashevis bahem ayunoshim perosehem. So what would happen was is that, again, I know what I'm saying. Obviously this is above the natural order that we're familiar with. So there was golden fruit that were planted that produced, I'm sorry, golden trees that were planted that produced golden fruit, and the wind would blow, knocking off the fruit, the golden fruit. And Shenemar Yerash Kolavanon Piryo Umihena I saw Parnasla Kohanim, and that's how the Kohanim get the Parnasa. Now, when the enemies came into the Beis HaMikdash, so these fruit all dried up. Shenemar Ufarach Lavanon Umlal VaAsir Hakadosh Baruch Hu LaAchzira. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to return it. Shenemar Paroch Tifrach VeTagel Afgilas VeRanan Kvod Lavanon Asanla. And the pasuk in Yeshayahu over here giving a description of one day these fruit are going to return. Okay. Nasan Ashne Hasi'irin. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we continue now in the Gemara with a description of the lottery. So far this morning, we described how the Kohen Gadol would put his two hands in and take out two tickets. Obviously, one's Lashem and the other's Lazazel. The goat corresponding to his right hand, whatever ticket came out on his right hand. So that will now be identified as whatever ticket came out on his right hand. Same thing with the goat to his left. And then it gave us an opportunity to talk about the years of Shimon HaTzadik, where it always, the Sir Lashem always came out on his right hand. And the last 40 years of the Beis HaMikdash, the Sir Lazazel always came out on the right hand. And those years in between. So yesh v'yesh. In other words, statistics. And and now Tana Rabbanan, a continuation. Yeah, it's a simon. Yeah, I know, but Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Gemara says it. The Gemara says very clearly that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so we do look at Simonim. Right? Where is it? The Gemara in Croesus? I think it's Croesus. I hope I remember correctly. But the Gemara says very clearly that Rosh Hashanah, we do look at Simonim. Tanu Rabbanan Esther Pamim Maskir Kohen Gadol Es Hashem. Okay, how many times is Hashem pronounced in the Beis HaMikdash and Yom Kippur? So the number is 10. right? Yom Kippur is brought to you by the number 10, right? It's obvious, meaning, right, the 10 times the Kohen Gadol is going to be Mekadesh Yadam V'Raglayim. Yom Kippur comes out on the 10th day of Tishrei. And so here's a number 10 for you for Yom Kippur. And that is the 10 times the Shem Hashem is articulated. So Esapami Masker Kohen Gadol Sashem. So Boba Yom Gimel be Vidui Rishon. So for Vidui Rishon, which we already saw in the previous Mishnah at the end of the third parak, so through the Vidui, three times Shem Hashem is articulated. Vishlosha be Vidui Sheni. Now, another three times for the second Vidui. Second Vidui, also going to be done over the par, but that's going to be for all the Kohanim. The first Vidui over the par is for the Kohen Gadol and his immediate family. And then the second Vidu is for all the other Kohanim. Vishlosha b'sir mishalech. V'sir mishalech will be the third Vidu of Yom Kippur, where there Hashem Hashem is articulated three times. V'echa b'goralos. And then, when the pronouncement is made in the goral, meaning what we're describing here in our Mishnah, so that's going to be the 10th utterance. Obviously over here, for whatever reason, the Brisa is not going in the chronological order in which it would occur. But okay, but the Brisa is just simply organizing the numbers. 3, 3, 3, and 1. V'kvar amar Hashem v'nishma kolo b'yericho. And when Shem Hashem was pronounced, it went all the way to Yericho. Now, we heard this already back in Shkalim. We get to hear it again. Amar Rabba bar Bachanan Yerushalayim Yericho asara parsaos. 10 parsas gets us from Yerushalayim to Yericho. So, v'tzir d'lasos ze'echal nishma b'shmona tchumei Shabbos. Now, the hinges of the Beis HaMikdash. So, when the door is open and those hinges squeaked, So you can hear that 8 Tchumei Shabbos. Tchumei Shabbos is 2,000. 2,000 times 8, 16,000. 16,000 amos. Okay. Right, approximately 8 kilometers. So, Izim should be Yericho hayumet ashtot me recha ketores. The goats in Yericho, 10 parses away. So, the ketores being burnt in Yerushalayim, 10 parses away. So the goats in Yericho would sneeze from the ketores. The women in Yericho. So they didn't need to put on any fragrance. In other words, they got they basically got the fragrance from the ketores that was burned. Same thing with the kalos in Yerushalayim. They don't have to put on any perfume because of the ketores. Right? Tosus over here is bothered. There's no me'ila by reyach, but there's an iser, right? You can't go out of your way and smell the ketores, right? There's no formal me'ila, but there is an iser. So over here, we're talking about the kalos in Yerushalayim and the women in Yericho, and they're benefiting. But Tosus over here points out, yeah, the iser is to go out of your way in order to get benefit. But if it happens me'ila, that's not a problem. Yeah. But that was a Mars. Yeah, correct. It's a good point. But it was just a Mars sign issue. Meaning that was, you know, that was, and I'm saying this not negatively, but that was cedar. In other words, they just wanted to show and demonstrate that they wouldn't benefit from it. Okay. The Tosfos I just quoted, by the way, was second Tosfos on our Amud. Anyway, Amar Rebbe Yossi ben Dulgai, I know there's Girsa issues over here. Amar of Yossi ben Dulgai, Izim Hayula Abba Behade Mechmar, Mechmar Machvar. Okay, a couple of Girsa issues over here. Anyway, Vayu Mesatosh Mirecha Ketores. And the point is basically the same point. My father had goats, they were the goats who were well outside of Yerushalayim, and meanwhile the Ketores was burning, so the goats were sneezing. Okay, in other words, the Ketores traveled at great distances. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, Sachli Zakenecha, Pamachas Halachti L'Shilo. One time I went to Shilo, Ve'herachti Reach Ketores Mi Ben Koslaha. And I was able to smell the ketores from the walls. That's how far I traveled. Okay. I'm tempted to go on, but I'm not. We'll stop over here. The truth of the matter is that the next bit of Gemara really starts an entirely new sugya, and it goes well into tomorrow's daf. So I'm going to stop over here. Okay, so I'll quickly recap our daf today. We opened up with the fourth parak of Yuma. Okay, I know my friends at Zichru, right? One of them is an old friend of mine. So my friends at Zichru always give ways of remembering the daf. Okay, I don't want to say this out loud, but you know, I don't follow each day, but anyway, I think today's a no-brainer. meaning today's daf is Lamed Tes, that's lottery. Okay. It's easy to remember. But anyway, the beginning of the fourth parak goes over the process of the lottery in terms of selecting which goat is Lashem and which goat is Lazazel. Two goats we're going to be discussing here in this parak, they're going to be identical to one another, and the Kohen Gadol via lottery is going to be making the selection of which goat is going to be offered in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, meaning the Shechted and the Dam is going to be brought to the Kodesh HaKadoshim through the entire Avodas Yom HaKippurim, which we're going to be describing in great detail over this parak, next parak, and which goat is going to be sent off the cliff. And to the larger question, by the way, why it has to be done through lottery, right? I've heard a couple of ideas. I'm not prepared. I'm meaning, I'd rather say it using Mar Makomos, and you know, I've heard a bunch of ideas. But anyway, it's a larger question which certainly needs to be addressed in terms of why does it have to be through lottery. But anyway, but it's done through a lottery. And over here in our Mishnah today, so we went through the process, the procedure. We described the box. We described the hands of the Kohen reaching in order to take it. We talked about how quickly the Kohen Gadol has to go ahead and snatch it out, because even though the Kohen Gadol would like the Shem Hashem to come out in his right hand, but being that it was done by chance through a lottery, so therefore it's something that the Kohen Gadol cannot determine, and it has to be done via chance. And then the formality, the ceremony of, once the tickets are now in the Kohen Gadol's hand, so if the Shem Hashem comes out in his right hand, so these right-hand man, literally over here, this Kan Kohanim, would say to him, okay, raise your right hand. And if it come out in his left hand, so we'd raise his left hand. Couple things that we discussed in the Gemara. Number one, why snatch it out of the box? So the answer is so that he does not methodically take. And then the three quick halachas of Rava, that the kalpi, the box itself, was made out of wood, it was not a kli sharis, and it can only hold two hands worth. And the Gemara discussed, why not a kli sharis? Why not made out of gold? Why not made out of silver? And the big idea of Hatar Chasam Amon Hashem Yisrael. Furthermore, we also saw today Machlokas HaTanayim. There is a Tana, not our Mishnah, but there is a Tana that says that it should be the right hand of the Kohen Gadol and the right hand of the Skan that goes in. And as the Gemara went on to explain, that Braisa obviously favors the right hand of the Skan over the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. Our Mishnah obviously disagrees with that very point. And then, for a good part of today's daf, nearly half of today's daf, we talked about the tkufa of Shimon HaTzadik and the clear hashras hashchina that was pronounced during his tenure. For 40 years, he was a Kohen Gadol, the first 40 years of Bayit Sheni, and Kadosh Baruch Hu looked upon us, upon him, and upon us most favorably. And we discussed in great detail all the nisim that occurred for those 40 years, including that the ticket that was Lashem came out in his right hand for all 40 of those years, right? Flip a coin 40 times and see, and you're not going to get those results. Okay. And finally, our last discussion over here is that we then highlighted the last 40 years of the second base of Mikdash, where obviously the impending destruction, the clear signs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we were not looked upon favorably, including the gates of the Heichal opening up on their own, a clear sign of reflection, as forecasted by the Navi some 400 years earlier, that this is going to be a sign of the impending destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai basically talks to the gates and says, literally, I know what's going to happen. You can stop scaring us. Okay. And then we went over that Shem Hashem was said by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur a total of 10 times. Three for every one of the Viduim. There are three Viduim. 3 times 3 is 9. Plus the 1 in terms of the lottery. Stop over here.